Blog Talk Radio.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble's face. You won't see him again. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American.
Welcome to another exciting show with Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. So turn up the volume and enter our chat room, or grab your phones, call in, and join the conversation. Help us to restore the republic to this country and inspire the majority to be silent no longer.
Well, look me straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time. Yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up and shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American.
Well, welcome back to Southern Sense here on American. Blog Talk Radio. I'm your hostess with the most, just the radio chick. And I am so delighted to say I welcome back once again the best of co-hosts, Cool Mike. Good afternoon, Mikey.
Good afternoon, Annie. It is great to be here on the 12th of November. This year has, I always say, it just seems like yesterday I said Happy New Year. I'm glad to be back. We have approximately 50 or so days left to the year, and it's great to be your co-host.
Yeah, this year has really, really flown. And I'm going to warn everyone ahead of time, if you hear strange noises coming from my end of the system, I must warn you, I have a pair of brand new kittens. They're about 9 weeks old, and they are just starting to explore the house.
Oh, so, God help us. Oh, man, Annie. Where'd you find this group of strays now?
Oh, no. Well, a friend of ours, their cat that they had just recently adopted, they didn't know that the cat was pregnant, and she gave birth 9 weeks ago. And, well, Yanni allowed us to be conned into taking one. Well, one ended up being two, because Yanni then decided you can't just take one, you have to take the two of them because they're inseparable, so you can't separate them. So now I've got a pair of twins, Little Mittens and Imp. And the one-year-old kitten is having fun trying to coax them out and play with them. So I've got a one-year-old and 2 9-week-olds, and this house is going to be destroyed, I think, in 24 hours.
Lord help us. As they say, the inmates are running the asylum. Oh, well, the pups, the kittens are lucky to have great, great owners, mother and fathers like you and Yanni, which you have for many, many years been animal lovers, and I think that's wonderful. Three.
Yeah, and no, that makes six inside and one outside.
Oh.
So I run a cat house.
Yeah, I think that's fair to assume you run a cat house.
I should paint it red with the blue light outside. Anyway, remember before we went away for the weekend, I was telling everyone that I started up that Facebook page of thanking a veteran on Veterans Day. And I'm happy to say that as last night, there were 50 people that joined that group. And yesterday, before we went over to dinner at friends of ours, I pulled out the phone book. I called our local Golden Corral, and I took out my credit card, and I paid for a couple of dinners. Because at Golden Corral, I believe Outback did it. Someone else was telling me Applebee's. There was a bunch of different restaurants that were doing that, but locally I knew it was the Golden Corral. What they do is they give the vets a free meal, but family members and friends that go with them, they end up paying a full price. So I told them, I said, listen, if you get a couple of vets coming in with just their wives and no one else to join them, you know, use it to pay for the spouse's meal so that they feel that someone else is joining them and saying thank you too. And the manager at the Golden Corral was extremely thrilled. So I put that up on the Facebook page, and anyone wants to see. And I hope other people had done the same, you know, helped say thank you to a vet by buying a family member their meal. So
that's,
I did my good deed for the
that's
day.
That's awesome. Well, we are such a veteran-friendly show, and you are such a great admirer of veterans and contributor, both you and your husband. That's wonderful, Annie. Perry Steele, who is was a fellow BTR host with us, he wakes up in the morning on Veterans Day, as he is a sergeant, a retired sergeant from the Army. He went to breakfast, free. He went to lunch, free. Went to dinner, free. All with steak. So he took advantage of him. He's like, he gets the biggest steak that they'll give him for free and takes it. That's what Veterans Day is all about. Nice big steak dinner on someone else's dime. And you know, honestly, it is the least we can do. I mean, it is
the very least.
The freedoms that they give us. And of course, I mean, year in and year out, I mean, we are always having individual guests who basically are defenders of our veterans, whether it's postpartum or whether it's just in many, many ways, the wounded warriors. I mean, that's just great, Annie.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Anyway, I really admire that. But on with the show.
Yeah, we got a great show coming on. We're going to have Doug Briney back. We did try to have him on just before his brand-new album debuted on November 1st. It came out on November 5th. And unfortunately, we had major technical difficulties between my internet going down, BTR going down on us. It was a disaster. But Doug has been kind enough to join us again. So before we get him to call in, we do want to do our dedication to our fallen hero. And today's fallen hero, is DEA Special Agent Everett E. Hatcher, who was killed on February 28, 1989, on Staten Island in New York City. Since we don't have any sort of a music for them, we're going to do Eternal Father in this dedication. And this goes from the Survivors Benefit Fund. This is from Special Agent Everett E. Hatcher of the Drug Enforcement Administration's New York Field Division, was shot and killed on February 28, 1989, during an undercover investigation on Staten Island in New York City. He was 46 years of age at the time of his death. The main target of the investigation was Gerald Jerry Chili, a close associate and member of Chili's group, Constable Gus Faraci. Faraci was dealing illegal narcotics and had an extensive criminal background that included a conviction for murder. On February 28, 1989, at approximately 9 p.m., Special Agent Hatcher met Faraci on Staten Island to discuss the purchase of several ounces of cocaine. This was the third meeting between the two. During their meeting, without any warning, Faraci shot Special Agent Hatcher several times with a .357 Magnum handgun, killing him. Assisted by law enforcement agencies in the New York City area, DEA instantly spearheaded a massive manhunt in an attempt to apprehend Faraci. The search ended on November 18, 1989, when Faraci was found shot to death on the streets of Bensonhurst, Brooklyn. murdered by members of his own organized crime family. Special Agent Hatcher became a DEA special agent in January 1977 at the New York Regional Office. During his 12 years with the DEA, he worked in a variety of investigative assignments throughout the New York Field Division, for which he received special achievement awards in 1982 and 1983. He also served as a firearms instructor and a recruiting officer. In 1987, he received a third Special Achievement Award for his efforts with the DEA Agent Recruiting Program. Prior to joining DEA, Hatcher spent 6 years in Germany as an Army Deputy Provost Marshal and a physical education teacher at the U.S. Military Dependents High School. He returned to New York in 1975 to teach in New York City schools. He was working for the New York District Attorney as an investigator when he was accepted as a special agent with the DEA. Special Agent Hatcher was an experienced teacher who earned a Bachelor's of Science degree in physical education from Hampton Institute in Virginia in 1968, a Master of Education degree from Boston College with high honors in 1974, and had completed advanced graduate studies at Boston College and John Jay College. Special Agent Hatcher was survived by his wife Mary Jane and two sons, Zachary and Joshua. The New York Field Division sponsors an annual golf tournament in honor of Special Agent Hatcher. Proceeds from the tournament benefit the DEA Survivors Benefit Fund. We dedicate this show to Special Agent Hatcher and to all of the men and women who serve in the armed forces and as first responders and as security, as in ICE agents, Border Patrol, and DEA agents. We thank them for their selfless sacrifice, and we can never say thank you enough. So in honor of these men and women who have served, are serving, and that will serve, we dedicate this song, My Name is America, by Todd Allen Herndon. You can upload it on toddallenherndon.com.
Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. When I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free. My name is America, don't tread on me. I cannot be broken, I cannot be shamed. If you hurt me, I'll get stronger, and I'll rise up from the flames. Others gave it to me. They believe in the virtues I stand for, my respect for humanity. Now I'm challenged by tyrants who envy my power, but their vicious deeds become my finest hour. Because my name, I cannot be broken.
That's Todd Allen Herndon, and My Name is America. You can find that at toddallenherndon.com and download it for free. Hey, Mike, you know what
That song rocks. Well, but anyway, what didn't you notice?
What I didn't know is that he just also released a new album, so I sent him a message telling him, shame on him, he didn't tell me about it, so he's got to come back on. But we have one of our favorite guests. This is his fourth appearance on our show, so he must like us or something. I don't know what it is. Even though
probably
we abused him the last time.
Know.
We badly abused him the last time he was on, so we're bringing him back to go, oh, forgive me. Welcome back, Doug Briney.
Hey, Annie and Mike, thanks for having me back on.
Well,
yes.
You know, since you cut your big album there, Big Shot, it's been so hard to get you back on. So we're just, the honor is all for us little people.
I don't know. I was on right before we released it, and then I'm on. We just had our showcase last night and had a great time with that CD release party and the showcase. It was a fantastic night.
Yeah, and what Mike doesn't know is that you were the 2013 Independent Country Music Association awardee, and spent 8 months, peaked at number 6, and on iTunes, you were number 11. So not bad for a first album, and this is now your second one.
This is the second one, and I'm trying to – I know we're doing well on iTunes. Obviously not quite as well as what we'd like to, you know, but we are. We're doing well on iTunes, and we're trying to get reports on that right now because it just hit iTunes November 5, and I know that there's been several sales. We're praying, obviously, for more. The more, the better, but it is doing real well, and we hope that folks are enjoying it. And I'm telling you from the response that I've been getting from people, they are enjoying it, and it's been a good thing.
Yeah, and they can find it at DougBriney.com. That's D-O-U-G Briney, B-R-I-N-E-Y.com. Or also they can go to Reverber Nation, and they can download it over there. They can get it there. It's a great album. I've listened to it all, and I'm so sorry we weren't able to play it back on the first. But like I told you before you came on, we got all the bugs and everything else kicked out of the way, and I banished the trolls inside my computer. So the trolls will not be with those.
We tease Z Radio here in Nashville. We tease them. I was just in their studios the other day. We tease them all the time. They've got aliens that get in their computer system and mess it up every time something important wants to go on.
Absolutely.
Doug, I'm going to correct. Excuse me for interrupting, Annie. Doug, I'm going to correct Annie's English. What happened is Annie called BTR and reamed them 6 new booty holes. And the phone company, and not only did they show up and rewire her whole house, but BTR got their act together real fast.
Well, good.
Behind that sweet voice of Annie, oh boy, the Jedi Knight with the lightsaber.
It's combining the German
stubbornness
and the Italian anger. Boy, and they can't handle that.
that's the and then you add. You add a little estrogen in there, Annie, and it's a lethal combination.
No, you add a woman in the middle of menopause. That's even worse.
Okay. Well, I was just trying to be nice there. I don't know anything about that. I just know, add some estrogen in there. That's the female part. And boy, I'll tell you what, that'll get it done.
Doug, I meant to ask you, do you have a all-time, like, one single favorite artist in the music industry? You know, we talk politics, we talk music, but like one person who is just like, I'll give you a perfect example when it comes to athletics, it's Joe Montana for me, and no one comes close to him. Do you have that one person who just, I mean, you just look to as this is someone, a great role model for me or influence?
Yes and no. I do. I have the one person, I guess, that I want my career to look like, that I would like to model my career after, and that's Vince Gill. I would want my career to look like his. He is such a gentleman. He's so classy in everything that he does. Phenomenal career, well-respected, has sung with a number of different artists. Fantastic songwriter. I think he puts a bit of himself in everything that he does. So I would say that would be the person that I would want my career to look like, and that I would like to emulate above anyone else.
Wow. That's interesting.
Well, he certainly is all those things, that's for sure.
Yeah. You've got a great manager, and I do want to do a shout out to him, Mike Stover, who sent you over to us. He also handles Xander Damos, who's also another wonderful artist. But out of all of his guys, I think you're our favorite.
Thank you, Michael.
Now, your new album out is called Super Country Cowboy, but you didn't participate in writing any of these songs. Some of the people listening and may not have heard the original broadcast. What made you decide to pick these songs? Is there something about each and every one of them, or is it just someone came over and said, hey, check these songs out?
Well, for me, Andy, the hardest part of putting an album together is the song selection. On It's All Country, I listened to over 300 songs to select the 10 that are on that album. I did not have manager at the time. That was a completely self-produced album. And I put that one together just myself. On Super Country Cowboy, with having Michael Silver as my manager now, I have no idea how many songs he listened to. I mean, I really don't. I know I listened to probably close to a couple hundred songs to get to the 9 that are on the album. And what I look for is really a combination of things. It's got to be a song that I believe in. And I do look for that personal connection. Every song that's on this album, I have a personal connection to. It reminds me of something in my life, or about myself, or about people that I grew up with. Every single song in here does that. And I guess the only one that doesn't have that absolute personal connection would be Eugene Fuguay, but I love that song because of the story that it tells. And although I can't relate to the song in the sense of living through that, I can relate to it in the feelings of that want as a teenage boy, you know, and having a girlfriend whose dad didn't approve much. I can also relate to it now as a dad who has a young, beautiful daughter that has a boyfriend, and he's a great guy. He's never going to be good enough for my baby girl, but that's just the reality is to be a dad of a beautiful young lady. So I relate to it in that sense. But every song on the album I relate to on a very personal level. And so I look at that. I look at the story that it tells. Does it tell a compelling story? Is it something that I think people are going to want to hear, because I can connect to it, but if other people don't, I wrote a song a number of years ago. We have twins, twin boys, and I wrote a song about the twins, and to me it has a lot, to me and my wife it has a tremendous personal meaning, but to anyone else listening to it, they don't get 90% of what's in that song, so it's not a marketable song, because no one else is going to listen to it. So I try to listen to a song from a personal connection, but also, is it a marketable song? Is it something that I think people will relate to? And I really think that the songs on Super Country Cowboy, I think we did very well with that. Again, judging from audience response as I sing these songs live, and especially the showcase last night, man, we had a great turnout, and people just were really into the music, and it was a lot of fun.
All right, well, you mentioned Eugene Fugay, and just because of that, we're going to play that song first. How does that sound?
That sounds great.
All right, here we go. Eugene Fugay.
Born in a shack, son of a sharecropper, Alabama, 1963. Rags on his back, ain't got no papa, mama can't seem to make ends meet. She had Prozac and Ace, she was a doctor's daughter, silver spoons, chandeliers. Daddy dreamed of a prince and not some papa. His plan for her was crystal clear. But the sharecropper's son and the doctor's daughter had something stronger than the deep sweet water that raged through the quiet river town. So goes the story of Mary Alice Alexander, Eugene Fugay. Small town rumors spread like fire, still they kept the romance underground. Was a secret love seemed to burn hotter in the shadow of Daddy's suspicious frown. But the sharecropper's son and the doctor's daughter's love grew so big they could hide it no longer. So they stepped out from the shadows loud and proud. Love was the story of Mary Alice Alexander, of a daughter's future, to make the southern saint a shooter, make a Cadillac a loaded gun. Well, he waited for the boy to cross the river, aimed his car and pulled the trigger, swayed between the headlights, Eugene struck. Eugene swerved and Daddy kept falling. When he looked back, all he saw was Romeo on this earth. When they pulled old Eugene out of that red coffin, it used to be his pickup truck. Betty's home, they found his daughter hanging on to the one she. So went the story of Mary Alice Alexander, Eugene Fugay.
Wow, that is a powerful, powerful song. I love it. What I love is your baritone in there, but the range that you have on your voice. You're not just a baritone. You have a much broader range. And it is. It's so warm and full. It's very beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. We had a lot of fun with that. Again, last night at the showcase, two of the writers from that song were actually at the showcase last night and thoroughly enjoyed it and we're very complimentary, so it was a nice thing.
All right,
I can officially say that I don't like it, because every time I try to sing karaoke, I sound like a squealing mouse, and you just make it sound so easy. why can I not just have just everything? It's so smooth, and I'm jealous.
Well, man, Mike, I appreciate that. Again, going back to that influence, that one person I'd like to be like, you know, Vince Gillen. Man, if you ever watch him, he makes everything look effortless. And, you know, it just looks so effortless when he does that. So I appreciate it. That's a high compliment,
well,
I think.
It, It's certainly effortless when you're surrounded by all these perfectly hot blondes that could be playmates too.
Now, I just got to warn you, Doug, if you do hear some odd noises coming from my end, like a big crash or boom, you can blame it on two little nine-week-old kittens that have just discovered my office with all the wires and everything all over the place.
Oh, so, boy, that'll be fun. Yeah, you just got that all repaired. Yeah, you just got that all repaired. You don't want to mess up with that.
Well,
do you get nervous when you perform in front of people? Do you get nervous at all, or are you like hyped up, all stoked up like an athlete? How do you actually approach, say, let's say 4 hours before a show or before your opponent?
You know, honestly, I'm usually pretty calm and relaxed before a show. It's usually after the show that I get all messed up and I can't. That's when the adrenaline just releases is afterwards, which is kind of nice because I'm usually able to maintain pretty good. But, you know, it really does depend. There are times of nerves. Last night I was a mess in the morning. I couldn't function. My brain was going 1,000 different miles an hour. You know, we were trying to get industry folks out there last night. We were wanting the house to be packed. And I just had 1,000 different things going in my mind, and it was from that standpoint, it was unusual for me because I don't normally do that. I'm a pretty easygoing person, but you know, we got there last night, and then everything that could go wrong did go wrong last night when we got there. There was no sound person. The sound system was not ready. The venue let me down tremendously last night, and we were scrambling all the way to the very last minute. I mean, the last minute to get things set up. And by the time we started, I was such a wreck from trying to get everything working that I forgot about being nervous about singing. You know, so it kind of, in a way, it actually was a relief for me because then I was just went into troubleshooting mode and trying to get everything solved, problem solving mode, that I didn't even think about what was going to be taking place. I was just trying to get it done. And so the performance, I wasn't nervous at all during the performance, but there again, afterwards, I was just a wreck. I just, the nerves hit me, and I think it's just that release of adrenaline. It's not nervous. It's just, you know, how was that? What, you know, and you know, wanting to hear feedback from my wife and from a couple close friends that were there and you know, try to get rid of that nervousness that's there after the program. So a little bit different. I'm backwards in that way.
No, I can understand that because usually when I have something like a speaking engagement or something I have to do publicly, you know, I'm concentrating on what I'm going to say and how I'm going to deliver it. But then once you walk off and you step back thing and then you're all done, that's when I start shaking. I'm literally physically shaking.
Yeah.
And it's like all of a sudden everything just hits you. And my husband actually was laughing at me one time because I went to introduce Congressman Mark Stanford to a crowd. They just pulled me out and said, well, you're the only one that's here. And they grabbed me and threw me up in front of the cameras and microphones. And I just dropped the top of my head. And when I got back to sit down, I went to reach for my cup, and my hand was shaking so violently, I couldn't take a sip.
Well, thank you. You are the first person that I've ever spoken with that goes through that same thing. And that's exactly – I'm fine in the moment. It's afterwards, all of a sudden, it just releases. And I do. My hand will shake or, you know, voice will shake. So it is nerves, but it just manifests itself differently. It's something different. And I don't – you know, a lot of people – I talked with folks like last night that were getting ready to go on and after my performance you know, she's just teed up. She's nervous like a wreck beforehand, and where I'm not ahead of time. But I was more so yesterday than I have ever been nervous ahead of time. And it wasn't nervous about the performance. It was just nervous about the evening, you know, trying to get everything, making sure that everything was right. We had the VIP table. We had, you know, everything, just trying to line everything up correctly. you know, it was a big night. And so that was more the nerves rather than the performance. I tell folks, you know, if I get on stage, get the microphone and the guitar in my hands, I'm comfortable. That's comfortable for me. I'm relaxed as can be there. But it's, you know, it's afterwards. And it was just all the little details that were making me nervous last night of getting the event planned.
And that's absolutely true. I understand that very well. Now, you've got another song. It's cut number 8 on your brand new album, Super Country Cowboy, which people can get at DougBriney.com or go to ReverbNation and pick it up. But cut 8, it's a song called I'm Up. What made you choose that song?
You know, this is a fun song. Jonathan McClanahan wrote this one. And there's so many songs about the weekend. There's so many songs about, but there's very few songs about Monday morning and the rush that there is on Monday morning and the craziness that ensues every Monday morning. And I heard this song, and because of that little difference, I thought it was great. The personal connection there again that I have with that song is, you know, I understand. And sometimes Monday morning, man, it's just hard. It's hard to get out of bed. I'm not a big partier at all by any means. But Sundays are our church day and our family day at church, and I just kind of get unwound on Sundays, and Monday then kind of rolls around and I feel like I got to get wound up again, and it's hard to do. And so I related to the words of this song that go ahead, bring it on. I'm up for it, whatever it is. I'm going to handle it. I'm going to attack it with everything I've got, and I'm going to make it through this day, and Monday will be behind me.
Well, it's kind of like every man's working song, so I'm going to play this one. This is Cut 8, I'm Up by Doug Briney on his brand new Super Country Cowboy.
Monday morning hit news, my kid across the room. Cold shower, said a prayer, brush my teeth, comb my hair, drive me in my coffee cup. Now I'm up. Pop shot, fire, cruise, clothes on, find my shoes, Facebook, email, my space, Abigail, rat race in a rush. Thinking on my books. Yeah, I'm up for anything they can give shots to me. So I can give a ride back in the young King 33. Rise and shine, good morning, America. Ain't nothing gonna get me down to the road.
Much less any other morning, but I do remember, you know, having, oh God, it's Monday, now I got to do rush hour traffic, you know, whatever. I don't miss those days.
It does relate, like you said, to every person who's working and who's out there and having to do it every morning.
Sounds like we may have some problems with the law.
I'm sorry? Let's see. Something's going on.
Well, it sounds like I'm getting a problem. Are you on a cell phone? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it could be a song on your cell phone because you go fading in and out.
I think we're breaking. We can go into song and I'll call you right back.
All right. I'm going to be playing the song Choices You Make by Doug Briney from his late album Super Country Cowboy. And here we go.
Bobby said it would be cool to break into our school and spray paint the library walls. But the cop, he didn't laugh. He cuffed our hands behind our backs, threw us in a cell and gave us each one a call. Bobby wasn't worried. Said he ran to bail him out. Mine said, I'll see you in the morning sun. Got a lot to think about. Said the choices you make and the company you keep says everything about who you are and who you're gonna be. The roads that you take, it's a company you keep and the choices you make. Was alone and scared to death, crying on the concrete bed, when they threw an old drunk wino in with me. You said, what's a boy your age doing in the county cage? Son, this ain't the kind of place you wanna be. Well, he talked to me all night about his regrets and wasted years. Every whiskey sober word echoed the simple truth. The choices you made, the company you says everything about who you are and who you're gonna be. The roads that you take, they're not lived up to chance and faith. It's the company you keep and the choices you make. Heaven knows where I'd be today if it wasn't for that night. Probably be with Bobby doing 15 years to life. The choices you make, the company you keep, says everything about who you are and who you're gonna be. The roads that you take, they're not left up to chance and fate. And the choices you made.
Now, Doug, I'm not going to ask fans from you, but that is one heck of a song. Every single person can relate to that, because somewhere along the way in their life, they could have taken the wrong path. And it just speaks out to everyone, the way they grow up and the way they raise their children.
You know, and that's the way I felt about it. My best friend growing up, you know, his parents allowed him to get away with anything. And my parents didn't. My parents were very strict. And I relate to that line where, you know, where I was never arrested. I did get in some trouble. And my friend John, his parents, they just came, picked him up and didn't care. My parents took a little longer to pick me up, and they did care, and they gave me a good chewing about it a little bit later, and told me I had had made some poor choices, and there were consequences to those choices. And so it was a song that I related to very well personally.
Yeah, that is true. You know, and this is a true story. After I had graduated high school, I had bought into a business, a travel agency, and the cops used to love to come and hang out in our place. A cop later on, but they would actually borrow my high school yearbook. I can't tell you how many times they came in to borrow the high school yearbook for a picture of OID. And I'm saying, these are people that I went to school with. These were people that were my friends. And just thinking, you know, had I maintained those friendships, would I be one of those people, you know, doing a photo lineup? You know, it's just, again, the choices you make.
Yep.
And it really, go ahead.
Oh, that's exactly it. It does come down to those choices. It does come down, and I do think we all, you know, even my friend John, that his parents didn't, you know, it was much later. We were in college. I was in college, and he came over to visit with his wife and little girl, and he started talking to my parents, just thanking them for, you know, making him toe the line and steering
him in the right direction when his parents hadn't done that. Because it meant a lot to him. And, you know, we do need that. We do need that direction. We do need to understand choices have consequences, and the choices that we make do shape and they do define us. And that's
you know, that's the message of the song. That's really what drew me to it.
Yeah. You've got one of my favorites. It's on cut three. It's a pretty big deal. And last time I spoke to it, loved the end, and I want people really to pay attention to the musicians one, because I think that riff is really like a exclamation point at the very end. I love it. So I'm going to play this one, Pretty Big Deal. Okay, here we go.
All right.
It's inconsequential job. They wouldn't know my name if it wasn't on my show. I ain't rich and famous, so I'm standing in my field. But in my own backyard, I'm a pretty big deal. Every time I hear a whistle fall clear across the street, I keep on yelling, scream like that.
Love that part. You know, when I talked to you last, talking about the song, it had only been less than a month since we laid my father to rest. right? That song, it was so fresh, you know, in my crying when I was listening to it, because it brought back so many wonderful memories of my own dad. And I'm sure that you had them with your own children, those things, you know, feeling like you were a pretty big deal.
You know, he did. My dad made me feel like, you know, big deal, and I felt like he was a big deal. And, you know, my kids, again, with four children, I think it came up to the point where, yeah, that would be that I, you know, I looked to that, and I hope that I was a pretty big deal in their eyes. And I know I was. I've got four great children, and I tease a little bit in the concerts, you know, when I'm doing this and introducing this song, that, you know, I kind of wish that we could go back to the days whenever it was all about Dad knowing everything, you know, but as opposed to questioning and everything. And I tease them a little bit about that, because they really don't give us much of a hard time. They give a lot of respect. But there was that time. You kind of miss that whenever everything you said was, you know, golden. Everything you said was right, and you could do no wrong in the kids' eyes. It was just, you know, you were their hero. And you kind of miss that. But at the same time, I'm so glad that they're growing up, and you know, there's things about that those ages that I don't miss either.
Yeah. They sent me something funny face just, I believe, yesterday morning, and it had this little chart, and it said, you know, child at the age of five, you know, mom and dad could do no wrong. They're the best, most wonderful. Child at the age of 12, oh, how stupid they are. A child at the age of, you know, 18, I can't wait to get out of the house and be on my own. Child at the age of 25, how did my wife do this? Child at the age of 50, I wish I had them back. You know,
I wish I had them back. That's right. Yeah,
yes.
And it is. There is that natural progression that we go through as you know, and we went through it ourselves. You know, we went through the same thing. And so there again, even for folks that haven't had kids, I'm finding that this song relates to them and they understand it.
Yes, it does. Now, there's another one that ties directly into this one. It's sort of like the hand in hand, and this one's track two, where you have "I Get To." Here you're saying you're a pretty big deal, but this song, you also have a similar message, but a different way of saying it. And I'm going to play this one. This is track two from Doug Briney, "I Get To."
Make me go to church, flip on tie and start your shirt. Never heard those preachers' words all slouched down in that pew. Well, these days going to church is something I don't have to do. I get to. I used to have to hang with Dad, wash his car, cut the grass. Took all day and I hated that, till his heart attack last June. Well, these days helping Dad is something I don't have to do. I get to, oh, I get to. I get to wake up early and I get to go to work. Get a making on the swimming, put my hands down in the dirt. My hands down in the
Sorry about that. I forgot to turn my mic back on.
Oh, there we go. All right.
Minor little details. Sorry about that. I'm sorry. That was cut to I Get To from Doug Briney's new album, Super Country Cowboy. Yeah, I was starting to say that we have a Marine in the chat room. He's up in Camp Lejeune. So I want to play for him and for all of the veterans out there because it was Thursday on Sunday, and yesterday was Veterans Day. Your last of this album, The Unknown Soldier. So this, I think, should be going out to all men and women that have served and are serving. Let you know that we don't forget you. And this is from Doug Briney's new album, Cut Number 9, Unknown Soldier from Super Country Cowboy.
Unknown soldier marches on.
Here we go again. Forgot to turn my microphone back on. Jeez, minor detail. That goes out to all the military men and women and veterans out there. Just reminding you that we do not forget. We will not forget. But, Doug, you have a son in the service too, don't you?
That's right. My oldest is in the service. He serves in the United States Air Force and is stationed there in Washington, D.C. at Andrews Air Force Base.
God bless his heart. We wish him the best out there. Now, people can get your album by going to DougBriney.com, correct?
Correct. DougBriney.com, and it is available now on iTunes as well, but as well as they can go also to TateMusicGroup.com. There, I need the microphone turned off so I can stutter a little bit. So there's lots of ways. But DougBriney.com is really what we'd prefer. That way we can kind of track that. And if they want the hard copy of the CD, they can go directly there. They can purchase it from my website, and I'll sign that and mail it out to them and personalize it any way they want on there. And, to my best friend that I've never met. I'm just kidding. But, but we'll personalize that, get that out to them, and let them know, that lets us know that they're hearing the music, but also it lets me have the opportunity to let them know how much I appreciate them purchasing.
Yeah, and it is important that people do buy the CDs because, you do have that music up on YouTube, but you really don't make any money off of that. And often it costs you more money to do something like that. So the best way they can show support for you is by buying the CD. And it's, only $13, I believe?
Yeah, it's $13 through the website there for the hard copy of the CD. Again, iTunes download is right at about $10, and which is the same price for other CDs that are out there and other projects that are out there. We're working on the website this evening, and going to put up a special deal on the website there this evening that if folks buy both It's All Country and Super Country Cowboy, they're going to get a nice little discount on that.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. I look forward to looking at that. Now, you also do a lot with charities. You do a lot through Bright Star International with the Wounded Warriors.
Well, with veterans charities, we do. We do an awful lot with all different veterans charities. I've done a lot with the Wounded Warrior Projects before. Again, with my son being in the Air Force, his job, he's a nurse there at Andrews, and so he twice a week he's in and out picking up these Wounded Warriors and hands on with these men and women. Very much hands-on with them. And so it has a real, real strong place in my heart. But my heart is really not just for the wounded, but it's for these men and women that are serving and they give so much of themselves. And, again, it's just, I wish we could do more. I mean, that's the bottom line. I just don't feel that I'm able to do enough for them to show my appreciation for what these men and women do for us as a nation.
Now, I don't think anyone could ever say thank you enough. It's really tough. And before you came on air, I was telling how Friday before we signed off for the weekend, how Monday was the Marine Corps birthday. And I'm sorry, Sunday was Marine Corps birthday. Monday was Veterans Day. And some of the local restaurants were giving free meals to the veterans. So I just took out my credit card. I called up one of the local restaurants doing that. And I said, buy the meal for our spouses of a couple of these guys, because some of them are going to come in with just their spouse and they can't afford to bring someone else with them. You're going to get one meal. So I said, buy them their meal so that they can enjoy a free meal with their spouse, who is the veteran. And he was really thrilled. And I hope a lot of other people did it because I even put up a Facebook page on that. And I put it up within 24 hours, 50 people had signed up, said they were going to be doing it. So I hope everyone did do it. And I hope everyone enjoyed their Veterans Day and remembered these brave men and women. Now, you've got a
I
lot.
I do, too.
Yes, absolutely. You know, when we spoke to you the first time you came on, you were up in Alaska. And I think maybe that's what the problem is, why you were stuttering, because you don't have the cold. You know, you're accustomed to talking through your chattering teeth up there, but now that you're in Nashville and you're nice and warm.
Yeah, you know, it's a transition. We were melting when we first got here. It really was. It was quite the adjustment when we first got here, because it was a lot hotter than what we were used to. And my first concert, I was outdoors. Did an outdoor concert, sang for about 2 hours in Chester County here, Tennessee. And I drank 6 20-ounce bottles of water in that 2 hour time period, and I was still dehydrated by the time I finished. I mean, it just swept through me so bad. It was terrible. So it's taken a little bit of adjustment. We're loving the fall out here. I mean, it was 30 degrees this morning, 32 degrees, and I'm not even wearing a jacket. It still feels great to me. I'm liking this.
It's a big difference. Plus, now you get to enjoy the fall colors, too. So that has to be absolutely beautiful there.
It is, but there is one downside to that, Annie.
You
got to
rake
one
them
downside.
Up.
We have a lot of big, big oak trees. We have like 8 large oak trees in this little property that we have here. It's a very small place, but where there's 8 large oak trees, and 8 large oak trees produces a dump truck of leaves and branches, and I don't know what to do with them all here. They're not allowing us. They don't allow us to burn them, and so I'm not sure what I'm going to do with all these leaves. I got them raked up in the front. We can, you know, it's about 3.5 foot tall in the front yard, and it's huge. It's a massive pile. I don't know where they're all going to go yet.
Oh, don't worry about it, because we're on almost a full acre. We've got a lot of tall pines with the long needles, the pine straw that people love to put around. The whole front yard is covered with it, along with live oaks and water oaks. And I think my husband actually counted at one point something like over 80 trees. And that's including the woods that is on the edge of the property. I feel your pain. You want some pine straw, anyone? You can just come to my front yard, rake it up, and you got it.
Well, you know, my mom, bless her heart, gave me an early Christmas present about 2 weeks ago. She came over to visit, and she brought with her a leaf blower. Now, why we never had one of those when I was growing up, I don't know, because I fired that thing up the other day. I had never used one. And I fired that thing up the other day. That thing is worth its weight in gold. I tell you, it just made that job raking so much better. But like I said, I've got these massive piles, and I don't know what to do with them now. They won't let us burn them. And even in a burn barrel, all the neighbors burn them in burn barrels, but the Metro has just taken over this area. Anyway, it's a long story, and I don't think that from what I can tell in talking to the fire officials, I'm not allowed to even do it in a burn barrel. So I'm stuck with these big piles of leaves until I can afford to buy enough trash bags to bag all these things.
The problems of domestic life. And you're a country music star. Here you go. Hopefully soon you'll be able to afford the landscaper. You know.
I think I'll probably still do it. I really would like to have is a big old mulcher on a riding mower and just buzz them all up and mulch them. I think that'd be the best thing to do. But man, the mower that we got now is a little push mower, and it doesn't mulch them with anything.
No, it doesn't. But I wish you luck on that one. You know, getting back to your album, you have a lot on religion in here too. Your album does center around family, God, and country, which is so wonderful, which is why it really is a super country cowboy album. So let's play up on cut number, what am I looking at? Number 5. And that's called The Money, The Gun, and The Bible. Let me pull this up here.
Yeah.
Come on, pull up. Don't be slow, don't be dopey. Here we go.
He was 95 in the summer of 84. They used to sit and talk with him on the swing on his front porch. I was just a kid, I loved the stories that he'd tell. How he'd been through two world wars and got all shot to hell. Said nothing comes for free, and the good Lord will provide. Gotta keep your ace up your sleeve, a sweater by your side. Money, the gun, and the Bible, always keep them right next to me. Said these three things are the only means for grown man survival. Well, money, the gun, and the Bible. Found out life was hard, just like the old man had said. I got a call from my folks back home. They said he'd passed away. A package came in the mail from him today. I opened it up and I read the note. You get this, I'll be dead. Gotta keep these three things close to you. That's all it said. Bible right next to the bed. Money's in my pockets, guns under my head. Money, the gun, and the Bible, that's all the old man left me.
Doug Briney, the Money, the Gun, and the Bible from his Super Country Cowboy album, which you can get at DougBriney.com. There's a link up in the chat room as well as on the show page that you can click onto to get the album. I love that one. You know what it reminded me of, Doug, when I was listening to it the first time? I flash back to Kenny Rogers in The Gambler, where he had the gun inside the Bible. But I don't think that's what you
meant. Yeah, not exactly what I meant, but yeah, I know that scene very well.
Yeah, and I just enjoyed it. You know, each song has a little bit of a different sound to it. Is that how you also decided on which songs to pick? You know, whether or not, you know, they were similar to your type of sound, but offered something a little bit different than what you did on your first album.
Yeah, you know, we really wanted a row. Well-rounded album, so we kind of go from, you know, real rocking with I'm Up and even Super Country Cowboy has more of an edge to it and yet still a very traditional sound on the chorus. We wanted some anthems. I really wanted something to say thank you to our military. I think that's an important thing you're going to see that on pretty much I'm just letting you know this has never been discussed even with Michael at this point, but I think it's something that we're going to try and do on every single album that I ever do. I want to do something to honor our military. So that's going to be something that we look towards every time. But we were really looking for something well-rounded. And, again, very, very pleased with the outcome of this album and how it came out. The songs do all blend. As you said, there's a very common theme of faith, of family, of country, and that's extremely important to me. I think we talked last time that I had the chance to see Willie Robertson live end of August and from Duck Dynasty, and I so appreciate it. We'd lived our lives this way for so long, but I had never really put it into words where we live our lives by faith. And for Willie, he says, you know, they prioritize their lives, faith, family, and ducks. And for me, it's, you know, faith, family, and you know, music. So it's when things are in the right perspective and I have the right priorities in life, and that's really what we try to we really wanted to convey that with this album and the songs that we selected without preaching to folks. We wanted the songs to give the message that there's more to life than just going out on the weekend and partying. There's more to life than just, you know, sitting down and drinking your cares away. There's some hope. There's some personal responsibility. There's accountability that has to happen. And all those things, I think I think the album accomplishes exactly what we wanted it to do.
Yeah, it does. And I'm glad to see my co-host is now back with me. His call dropped, and I see he's finally been able to get back online, Mike.
Well, I've been listening for my phone just died, and then I couldn't get the battery to hold a charge. I don't know what. But anyway, I've been listening. But, you know, it's amazing as far as I think the Miley Cyruses and artistry, what attracts people, even like in football, you see the bullying and all the – what's overlooked is not, in the artist industry, of just how many really good artists there are of many different LPs and music sounds and lyrics that are completely overlooked, that are very patriotic, and they sing wonderful music. And what can't be overlooked is just in many, many ways, how the country music industry just resonates wonderful with our red, white, and blue colors. Overall, it is exceptionally patriotic, not only to American citizens as a country as a whole, but our veterans.
Yeah, and I think so, too. It's interesting. I've got a couple friends that are in the military, not just my son, but I've got some friends that are in the military that, you know, they grew up, they couldn't stand country. They just couldn't stand listening to it. And now they're in the military and they're listening to some of these songs that their buddies are listening to. And it's like, hey, you know what? I'm finding myself liking country. And it's funny. I just got a message from one of these guys the other day. And he says, oh man, he says, I must be getting older or something. He says, but the songs of country music, I'm understanding them and I'm liking what they're saying now. And so we were teasing him. Me and a couple other guys were teasing him pretty good on that. But that he's growing. You know, it's time that he finally has matured, and you know, it's time for him to do that. But yeah, I think country music gets behind our military. And you mentioned Miley. You mentioned some of these different things, and it's a man. It's such a hard call. There is the performance aspect, but I don't think. I think part of the performances of that style is just shock. It's how far can I take this and shock the world? And I don't want to be known as that kind of an artist. I want to be known as an artist, who is in this for the long haul, not just for 15 minutes. I want to be around a while. I want people to. Be feel like they can bring their children to a Doug Briney concert and have a good time as a family. You know, so many of these artists, you can't take your family to. I mean, you just can't. I would have I would have died if I had taken my kids to go see Miley Cyrus and seen some of that. That just, you know, I can't do that. And it's not to condone or to condemn. It's just that's not who I am as an artist at all.
Right. Now, you recently went to the CMA Awards. You ended up with tickets to that. What did you think about that little skit that Brad Paisley and what's her name? Oh, I can't think of the blonde.
Carrie Underwood.
Yeah. About the Obama.
I was laughing hysterically. It was fantastic. I just thought it was hysterical. It was fun. I mean, that was the whole thing. And anybody who doesn't understand that it was fun and can't admit that there was something funny and there was something flawed with what they're doing, they're taking themselves and everything else a little too serious. I just read an article today, just read it this morning. Three 20-year-old young men got together and wrote a entire program that handles all the medical insurance stuff that the Obama program, and they did it for free, and they did it in 3 days, and it does everything, and it works. Our government spent $647 million in 4 years building this thing, and it doesn't work. And it's, you know, they were saying, yeah, we just need to turn the country over to these 20-year-olds. Kind of tongue-in-cheek. But you've got to be able to see some humor in that. I mean, if you can't see that there, I mean, there's something seriously wrong with your the humor.
Your funny bone.
Find. Yeah, funny bone. Thank you. Yeah. I was trying to think of a funny word like a humometer, but,
Well, listen, we're going to play your title song, Super Country
All
Cowboy,
right,
from your album called Super Country Cowboy. We're down to our final 6.5 minutes. So what a way to end the song. Here we go. Let's pull this up.
A daddy like Joe Jones, haggard and buck. Mama like the Eagles and the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. When I was just a little kid, I became a hybrid, super country, evangelic, rockabilly, psychedelic cowboy. There's a new ranch on the family tree, and it all starts right here with me. Said it was the devil's tongue, he censored him on Sullivan. Now he's loved by everyone. There's nothing, evolution, country music revolution, LP, CD, rip it from your MP3, boy. There's a new ranch on the family tree, it all starts right here with me.
Again, got the microphone again. Ah, that's three times today. Jeez. Well, Doug, that you jinxed me. You know? You jinxed me.
I don't know what I did. I'll take credit for it, but I have no idea what I did.
And my poor co-host, he keeps on losing his phone signal, and he's finally back with us. But, Doug, it is a great album. I'm going to tell everyone to go out and get it. It's a Super Country Cowboy, and you get it at DougBriney.com. Doug, you have been a fantastic guest as always, and you are always welcome to come back anytime your little old heart wants to.
Well, I appreciate that. I really do. And thank you again, you and Mike both again, for having me on and playing the music and you know, getting the word out there, because that's really what it takes. And for the fans and for the folks that are listening today, you know, please, the support means an awful lot to us, it's what it takes, and we're trying to make it and trying to get to where we can make a living off of this and keep giving the fans hopefully what they're wanting.
I believe you will. I mean, that last song had me actually dancing in my seat while two little tiny nine-week-old kittens played around my feet. Hey, that rhymed.
There you go.
Country song right there.
All right. Oh, boy.
Well, thank you so much, Doug. Oh, man,
you're
Doug
welcome.
Briney, what a fantastic guest. Mike, we got just like about a minute and a half left. I want to let people know that we're going to be back here on Friday, and we're going to have Mickey Booth back, and she's going to be joined by Rudy Davis. Rudy Davis has been leading the fight for Obama documentation and authentication. He's fighting side by side with Mickey Booth on that. And then following that, the next show will have Ilya Katz. Now, this guy is an absolute hoot. He's actually running for Congress out of, I believe, the 6th District in Florida. He is a immigrant from the Soviet bloc who escaped. He actually did prison time because of his free speech. So he knows communism firsthand, and he's running for a seat in Florida. So it's going to be a very interesting guest coming up, Mike.
Great. Looking forward to it. I'm working hard. I don't know if you know, and I'll make this fast. An individual who also challenged Obamacare in Ohio, he won his court of appeals regarding it violates his religious views, similar to John Kennedy. I'm working on getting him on just after Christmas. So I'll toss it back to you. And
okay.
Have a good afternoon.
All right. We want to thank everyone for listening in, and we're down to our last few seconds. We had such a fantastic show. It went by so fast. So I want everyone to enjoy their week. And if you still see a veteran out there or someone in the military, walk up, shake their hand, and say thank you. So until then, we say good night, and God bless you all.